I just got a chumash.
Thank you. So the Malbim has a lot to say about the Kohen service on Yom Kippur. That's, of course, the primary topic of Parshas Achrimos. But he begins with a discussion of the very first juxtaposition that we find in the very beginning of the parasha. It's a little bit strange on a time perspective. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe acharei mos shnei b'nei Aaron. It's a little bit strange. Acharei mos shnei b'nei Aaron, that happened a couple of parashas ago, right? It happened back in Parshas Shmini. So there's a little bit of a question about when this statement happened, right? Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe acharei mos shnei b'nei Aaron b'kor v'sam l'fnei Hashem v'yamusu. Now again, here also the Malbim gets thrown into that massive discussion that exists, about what exactly the sin of Nadav Avihu is. You may be familiar with the fact that the Medrash has like 10 different opinions, maybe 12 different opinions, exactly what the sin of Nadav and Avihu was. So take a look inside the, just first look at the juxtaposition. So he spoke to Moshe after the Shnei Bnei Aaron died, the Karvasam Lefnei Hashem Vayamusu, when they came close before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they died, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, and Daber al Aaron Achicha, speak to Aaron, Va'al Yavo B'chol Eisel HaKodesh, tell him he can't come whenever he wants to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Malbim points out, what's up with this juxtaposition of these two things? He spoke to him, the Torah is calling at your attention to the fact that he spoke to him specifically after Shnei Ben Aaron died. Okay, he spoke to him after that, but there seems to be some connection between the two. So we'll just try to take a little piece of this. So he's pointing out, right, the first part says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, and then Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Let's skip a little bit. So he says, onto the fifth line, Upo kasu vayidaber Hashem al Moshe achrei mo shnei b'nei Aaron vayom Hashem al Moshe. V'das Rabbi Yossi Aglili, sheshnei b'nei Aaron mesu b'shvil shekarvu lefnai v'lefnim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili in the Medrash says that the two sons of Aaron died because they went close to the Beis HaMikdash, they went close inside, Lefnai V'Lefnim. They went close deep inside the Beis HaMikdash, Lefnai V'Lefnim. V'hu Kedas HaTosefta, B'Parsha Shmini, Shelo Hichnisu Eish Zara. It wasn't the Eish Zara, it was that they themselves went inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They got too close. You can't just walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever you want. You can't just walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever you want. They went inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now again, this may have happened as a result of good intentions. A lot of times people do things with good intentions. But you have to have respect for the Shechina, you have to have respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a person is not supposed to in life feel that he's so buddy-buddy with the Ribbono Shel Olam that he could just burst into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and say, God, I'm here, I'd like to be close to you. Whenever the person wants to. So, Rak Shekarvu B'Simcha Rabba Yoser Mimechit Sasam. They went in great joy, they had such joy, and they felt such closeness, that they plunged into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'zeh Hodi Hashem L'Moshe. V'amalei, so you said, L'chein Yidaber El Aaron Shelo Yavo B'Chalei Salah Kodesh. So if that's pshad and what the avera of Nadav and Avihu was, that they went inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so we understand very well why the Chumash here is saying, oh, by the way, tell Aaron, Al Yavo B'Chalei Yisrael HaKodesh. Make sure that he does not plunge into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, just run in there whenever he feels like. Oh, and then he talks about, so then what does that have to do with Vayidaber? So lesson number one, I think that a person has to, even though we all, part of Yiddishkeit is that we're all supposed to feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're supposed to try to, and perhaps by extension, feel a closeness to Torah scholars. The Gemara says, "Es Hashem Elokecha Tiyu Le Rabos Tamidi Chachamim." Sometimes people take liberties and they they get too close. They, you know, they feel like they're so close that they can, you know, make fun of certain things, or they can, you know, there's a certain distance that a person has to keep from things that are holy. We have laws of kavod beis hamikdash. We have laws of kavod beis hakneses. And a person has to be careful not to necessarily run too close, not to go inside too much, or to feel closeness. I know there's some rabbis that they don't want any honor from their constituents. They try to run away from any and all honors. They wanted the guys. So somebody else once said, yeah, but sometimes people in that way, if you go too far in that way, then people learn a lack of honor for the rabbis. So you got the fine line. There's a fine line between this and... Ah, okay. That's true. Rabbi Shemoch HaKodok for the Machel. True. So there's nothing wrong with that. The rabbi's allowed to be Mochel on his Kavod. But I'm just saying, sometimes you suffer a little bit that people don't know what it means to have, especially, you know, in our generation, the honor is one of those things that is a little bit of a lost art form. Honor for parents, honor for rabbis, honor for holy places. Like in a democracy, it's a little harder to show honor to these things. Anyway, let's continue. So take a look at the next piece. Amnam po pir shelachin amar. Ah, so hold on a second. Let's look inside, back inside the. Here's a very beautiful idea. Look back inside the Chumash, please. So Bezos Yavo Aaron al Hakodesh. So the pasuk starts describing the avoda on Yom Kippur. Sonus ba'kodesh yobash mechnesi ba'yol b'saro. Umeyes hadas b'nei so yikach shnei seirezim lachatos v'ayel echad la'ola. So from the Jewish people, he should take two shnei seirezim lachatos v'ayel echad la'ola. So he's talking about the number shnei. Why does the Torah sometimes give a number and sometimes doesn't give a number? Even without shnei, we would know it's two, because the minimum amount of plural is two, but also the contrast between shnei and shnayim. Sometimes the Torah writes shnayim, and other times the Torah writes shnei. You know, one of the things that Malbim is very concerned about in his parish is when the Torah uses similar languages in two places, what does it mean? So what's the difference between shnei and shnayim? And here he learns out something very important. Amen. And the Vilna Gaon says the same thing, by the way, in a lot of places, as I'm going to show you in 1 second. Amnam po pir shelchein amar mispar shnei shebal horos yu shavim. So he says, the difference between shnei and shnayim. Shnayim is take two of them, but they don't have to be exactly the same necessarily. But when it comes to the goats on Yom Kippur, the sar la Hashem and the sar la Azazel, those two goats that are the primary animals that we use for the service in Beis Hamikdash, the sar la Hashem and sar la Azazel, they had to be exactly the same. Balakaches shnei hasirim. So he says, that shnei comes to have to both be exactly equal. V'hum yusar al klal shahay lechazal lahavdil b'mispar shnei u'shnayim v'ein kishabah b'tzuras asmichus shnei shtei u'vein kishabah b'tzuras anifrad shnayim shtayim, right? Shnei se'irezim smichut, right? That's two of that, as opposed to just two standing by itself. Shek she'omer shnei shtei makpid al shivoy hanimnim v'hadmusam zel azeh. He's makpid that they both be the same. He has a lot of examples of this. I didn't include a lot of the examples. V'lo kein k'she'omer shnayim shtayim lo yakpid al shivoy v'al zeh amru po shnei se'irezim she'yu shavim. Now, I heard many times a number of beautiful explanations. Why was it so important that the Shnei Se'irei Izim on Yom Kippur had to be exactly... Here, this is not what the Malbim says, but he's pointing out that Chazal say that whenever it says Shnei, I'm going to show you one or two other places, but the Malbim lists about 20, but I didn't quote him. So here, Chazal and Makrit, so why was it so important that the Sar Lashem and the Sar Lazazel be exactly equal? So I like to quote all the time, I believe it's Rav Huttner who said this, that You know, the Sar La Hashem and the Sar La Azazel, that central avoda on Yom Kippur, that central avoda on Yom Kippur, where one goat was brought as a carbon of the Beis HaMikdash and one goat was thrown off a cliff to be almost like the Ramban has a language, like a gift to the Satan that's thrown off a cliff to symbolize all the sins of the Jewish people. The Sar La Hashem symbolizes, you know, he got, you know, it was a Goral, and they had a lottery where, you know, they put the Goral, one of them, to determine who is going to get to be brought as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, like to elevate it to the highest levels of Kedusha, and who is going to be thrown off a cliff as a to the lowest levels of, you know, a gift to the Satan, whatever in the world that means. Not going into that right now, but you have to look at the Ramban. The Ramban has a language like that, that it's like, you know, to carry all the Averos of the Jewish people down to that, off the cliff. So Rav Huttner said that the idea of the Goral, right, and it all happens with a chance, with a lottery. It all happens with a lottery. So Rav Huttner learns this from the fact that the goats had to be exactly the same size and height. The lesson is that a person in life, every person is born with exactly the same amount of free choice, either to be the biggest tzaddik in the world that he can, or to be the lowest Rasha that he wants to be. That's all. That's in our hands. That's totally in our hands. And the Sar La Hashem and the Sar La Azazel, which gave tshuva to the Jewish people, the reason it was done in this fashion was to show that a person has this complete ability. And that's why they had to be exactly the same size and height and mara, to show that every person has exactly the same ability, exactly the same ability. We're born with exactly the same kochos to either be the biggest tzaddik in the world or to be the lowest Russia in the world. So that's what Rav Huttner said. That's why it was very important that they be exactly the same size. So the Malbim learns from the word Shnei, it had to be exactly the same. Now there's a few other languages, a few other places. So, so excellent. Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. So I saw again, the way I said is that, right, it is as the chances, meaning the percentage chances, are 50-50. That's the idea, that it's completely random in the sense that you have complete control. Even though a lottery, are you saying you have completely not control? That's the whole point of a lottery, I hear that. But the point is that the possibilities are wide open. That's the idea. It's a 50-50 possibility. Exactly. So every person has exactly a 50-50 chance, but the point is that it's totally, right, as opposed to a lottery, correct, Herbie? It's totally up to a person's ability. And you have this elsewhere. And first, this is the Malbim first. V'asisa shnayim kruvim zahav. Now, here's the issue. When it comes to the kruvim, sometimes it says shnayim and sometimes it says shnei. What do you do now? Vasisa shnayim kruvim zav. And then it says, vayash shnei kruvim zav. Ki akruvim v'asiyasan hayudomim kechol hazugos shebemaisa hamishkan shahudomim. V'nechta v'kula mila shtei besmichos, shnei adonim, shtei ados, shtei tabaos, shtei avosos, shnei luchos. There, they're exactly the same. I guess the luchos, what was written on them, wasn't exactly the same, but the luchos were the same. Avol besodam v'horasam hayu meurim kidmus zachar unikeva mashpia umekabel v'hayu muvdalin zemi zel lefi sodam shal ze heyed Hashem sheyu shnayim kruvim ratzalomar mechulakim b'ta'amam v'tzurasam haruchnius. So he says, again, I don't exactly know what he's referring to, but there's an idea here, which I think I understand, which I wanted to get to, but in what they represented, they were supposed to represent a male and a female, mashpia u'mekabel, the giver of influence and the receiver of influence, v'hayu muvdalin zemi zel lefi sodom,
Now look what he says. Shalzeheir Hashem shushnayim kruvim rasolim v'chulakim b'tamim tzerasim.
So really, it sounds like he's saying, in their creation they were exactly equal, but miraculously, sometimes one of the kruvim would take upon itself the visage of a zachar, and some would take upon itself the visage of a nekeva. Now he's going to explain this. So give him 1 second. Now he further points out, uvedivrei ayamim beis, it's kruvim shnayim, and in melachim it's shnei kruvim. Oh, v'zem muvan apimash kasev. I think that should say no. Is it Bava Basra? No, Bava. I don't know. Maybe it's a misprint. I'm not sure. Daf Tzadiches. I'm not sure. See, I think it's Bava. I didn't get a chance to look it up. Late night. Right? It says about the Kruvim. In one place it says the Kruvim faced each other. In other places, no. The Kruvim faced the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Lo Kasha. Kan Bizman Shi Yisrael Osim Ritzon HaShel Makom. When the Jewish people were behaving themselves appropriately, then the Ksuvim were facing each other, and when the Kruvim were facing each other. When the Jewish people were not performing, doing the will of Hashem, then the Kruvim were facing not each other, they were facing the walls of the house. The idea of the Kruvim facing each other meant that the Mashpia and the Mekabel were on the same page, meaning the Ribbono Shel'Olam and Klal Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel'Olam being our Mashpia from the language of Zachar, and Klal Yisrael being like the wife, the Nekeva, the language of Nekeva, they would be facing each other, meaning all would be good in the marriage between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, v'im kein, b'malachim midaber b'zman she'osim ritzon ha'shel makom. In Sefer Malachim, it's talking about a time when the Jewish people were doing the will of Hashem, so it says shnei, because the two kruvim were on the same page. In Divrei Yom, somebody after the Jews sinned. There it says Shnayim. Wow. Rabbi Shechter was here, was in the neighborhood for Pesach, the second day staying by his son. So he spoke about this at his house. He had a little get together at his house. Some people were there. I was there. So he spoke about how the Gemara says that Yirah, there's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, of Ru'iyah, that you have to go be seen by Hashem and see Hashem. So the Gemara asks, how would they see Hashem? So the Gemara says the way they would see Hashem is they would roll up the paruchas. When people were in the Beis HaMikdash, they would roll up the paruchas and people would be able to see miracles happening in the Beis HaMikdash. And they would actually see the kruvim hugging each other. They would roll from the outside, they wouldn't go in, they would roll up the paruchas and people would see. And that would be a miracle that would happen when Zman Yisrael or Osin Ritzon HaShel Makom, people would actually be able to see that. And they would also...
He would seem to be Kodesh HaKadoshim?
I believe so. That's what he said. Not only that...
Have you ever heard that anywhere?
I think the Gemara says it, so we'll have to look it up. I think the Gemara says it. We'll see. I think so. If you send me an email, I'll find you tomorrow Makom afterwards. Send me an email, fine. So I'm 90% sure that's what he said. I didn't read the Gemara inside myself, but I'm pretty sure. And then he also said they would squeeze the lechem upon him, which was over a week old and would still be warm. So they would squeeze it in front of the people that people would see that miracles were happening. So the Shekhinah...
It was a constant miracle.
Oh, right.
And that was a constant miracle.
Absolutely. But the point is, that's Rav Shechter said, that's how they would be Mekayim Yireh Yireh. That's how they would... Again, it could be that he was just quoting a Gemara. I have to look up the Gemara. So if you send me an email, I'll clarify. But I didn't get a chance to really look it up. But the point is that these were miracles. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, again, I think the point for us is that really here you sit to something incredible, that the miracles in the Beis HaMikdash depended on how Klal Yisrael behaved. That's what the Gemara says. Bizman she'osin Yisrael ritzon HaShem makom, the kruvim were hugging each other, were facing each other. But when the Jewish people were not doing it, so the Beis HaMikdash itself would reflect that reality. Really incredible about how the Malbim talks all the time about how our actions here affect the cosmos. So Kadosh Baruch Hu would actually reflect that literally within the Kruvim. But he learns it all out from Shnei and Shnayim. When the Kruvim were Shnei, then they were on the same page, as it were. But when they were Shnayim, they were like different. Now,
Now, there's another beautiful idea about this, which I've heard quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful piece of Torah about this. Remember in Bereishis when Hashem created the sun and the moon. So what does the Torah say? Vayas Elokim es shnei hama'oros hagdolim. Hashem made shnei hama'oros hagdolim, the two large luminaries. And then the next words are, Herbie, es hama'or hagadol lememshelas hayom, es hama'or hakaton lememshelas halayla. Wait a second. He made the two big ones, the big one at night and the small one, the big one during the day and the small one during the night. Wait a second, he just said the two big ones. And the Vilna Gaon says, so what is the Gemara comment? Rashi already quotes it in Bereishis, that originally the sun and the moon were the same size. And then the moon complained, how come the sun gets the day and I get the night? So Hashem punished the moon and made it smaller. So that's why they both started off originally the same. And we say, when we make Kiddush Levana, we say, Sheim Aschidim, that in the future, the sun and the moon are going to be the same size again, right? So the Vilna Gaon first asks, how did the Chazal know that the sun and the moon were originally the same size? So he says, Shnei Hamoros HaGdolim. Shnei means they were exactly the same size. Shnei means they're the same size. But then because the moon sinned, so God punished it and made it smaller. So the question is, what does it mean? Again, it says, as shnei hamaoros hagdolim, as hamaor hagadol lememshel sayom, as hamaor katon lememshel salayla. So Soloveitchik said like this, and I saw this quoted in the name of many people, then I saw it on the internet quoted from the Boston Rebbe. And I don't know. I heard it in the name of Soloveitchik, also from Boston, but okay. And then I heard it in the name of other people also on the internet. But a lot of times you have the Torah of Rav Soloveitchik that's quoted in the name of a lot of other people. But anyway, so I think Rav Soloveitchik said like this, at a bris we say, what does it mean that the sun is the Ma'or HaGadol and the moon is the Ma'or HaKaton, especially if they were both originally the same size? So what does it mean that one's the bigger one? He says, we say at a bris, Zeh HaKaton Gadol Yiyeh. Zeh HaKaton, it's very strange. You say, what? Make sure you feed him well. So that he said that is there. He's now small. We give him a bracha. He's now small. He should be big. Shkayach. I mean, right now he's 5 pounds. You know, that was my grandson. I was a little small, born a month early. But so when the kid is born, he's 5 pounds. So every little pound, every little ounce that he grows, shkayach, now he's 5 and a half. What are you saying to the kid of the bris? Zah katan gadol yir. Soloveitchik said like this. It says in Bereishis that the sun is called the Ma'ar HaGadol. And the moon is called the Ma'or HaKaton. And we know, I'll pee earth science, so we know that the sun has its own light, but the moon only reflects the light of the sun. Soloveitchik said, that's what we're saying to the kid at the bris. Zeh HaKaton Gadol Yeh. Right now, a baby is helpless. He can't shine any of his own light. So he's like the moon. He's like the Ma'or HaKaton. But we're telling the kid at the bris, Zeh HaKaton Gadol Yeh, just like the moon and the sun, right? We say Pnei Moshe kipnei Chama, Upnei Moshe kipnei Chama, Upnei Yeshua kipnei Levana. That Yeshua was the student; he reflected the greatness of his master. But he didn't have his own greatness. So we say to the kids, Zeh HaKaton Gadol Yeh. So again, but this is the idea is that we hope that. And a child will be able to radiate his own light to the Jewish people, not always just be a reflection of his parents, but he'll be able to radiate his own light. So, again, the Gra, my point was that the Gra learns that from the word Shnei. That Shnei means that originally the sun and the moon were exactly the same size. And the Malbim quotes like many, many examples that Shnei always means exactly the same size. But again, I'm trying to focus here on the lessons from that. I think that the lesson from the Shnei about there's a lot of lessons about that, you know, that the moon, you know, was upset that it didn't get enough honor, right? That's the usually when you try to look for more honor, you end up getting less honor, right? The Gemara says kol haboreach achar hakavod, kavod runs away from him, the Gemara says, and he who runs away from honor runs after him. So That's what happened with the moon over there. If you take a look at Rashi and the various sources. Okay.
Let's continue. As usual, there's a lot to say and not enough time to say it, but let's continue. B'seir avidoi nechleku Rabbi Meir v'chachamim. Rabbi Meir sfirlei sheyisvade ovisi pashati chatasi. The way you do the vidui, right? Because the parasha talks about that, right? The pasuk says that while Aaron was bringing these karbanos, right, does the pasuk, yeah, over here it doesn't say it, but we know that, well, it says it somewhere. Where does it say it? That he would say vidui. The chiper, right. Says over there, take a look. Yeah. Benasan. Take a look at Pasuk Yudal. It says, V'yakriv Aaron es par chatas ha-shelo v'chiper ba'ado u'ba'ad be'so. And he would atone, v'chiper ba'ado u'ba'ad be'so, he would atone for himself and for his house. So look at Rashi, vidui sheni olav, v'al echav ha-kohanim. Right, we know there were three viduis that Aaron said. He would do one vidui for himself, one vidui for his family, all the Kohanim, and one vidui for Gans Klal Yisrael, for all the Jewish people. So, in terms of the text of the vidui, the Malbim is talking about the text of the vidui. We say, Avid, Nechlu Rameh V'chacham. Rameh Sfilei Sheisvade Avisi Pashati Chatasi. That's the order that you find in the Yud Gimel Midos. No say Avon V'fesha V'chata V'nakei, right? No, say avam v'fesha v'chata v'nake. Avisi pashati chatasi. U'kiseder shenimtza b'yud gimel midos. No, say avam v'fesha v'chata. U'kiseder shehizki revidei atzma. U'kiseder shehizki revidei atzma. V'chacham svir lei shisader chatasi avisi pashati. So the question is the order avisi pashasi chatasi? Or chatasi avisi pashati, like David, Shlomo, and Daniel said. Umavur etzleinu tamid. What's the difference in all these averus? Ki geder ha'avon hu ha'me'ave ba'atzas sichlo va'aydei machsheves minus ukfira. Avon is where he has an apikorsis that gets into his head. Lichpar b'mitzvah o b'mitzuve. Alei. I think that's what it means. That he did not, but I think it means, Herbie, that he denies a mitzvah. He denies the veracity of one mitzvah. That's an avon. V'geder ha-peshahu ha-moreid ba'adonav yodea ribono uporek ulo bezadon. Maybe I got it backwards. Avon u is, he becomes a kofer. Lichpar b'mitzvah o b'mitzaveh, maybe. That he's the imamish is kofer in Hashem. The avon is kofer Hashem. Pesha is not that he denies God's existence. He knows God's there, but he's spitting in his face anyway about one of his particular commandments. Maybe that's the difference. The geder hachet, that's the third type, is tavas libo ta'altseyu. There it's not a sin of the mind as much as it is a sin of the taiva. Aji karv la'ones. It's almost like your karv la'ones. Mitoch dochak yetzer haleva taiva. So that's the lowest level of sin. Interesting. That's the lowest level of sin. It's almost like you're an ones, like when your taiva gets a hold of you. It's mamish like you're an ones. Sheye shoge gamur. The chote kazet malech arata. Bisur bulmos hayetzim imenu. So this is the lowest level sinner because this sinner so doesn't want to be doing what he's doing. He doesn't want to be doing it when you're a victim of the taiva. Shishogeg gamor. Sometimes you're even a shogeg. The chote kazeh male charata. He's full of regret as soon as he could figure out a way to conquer the taiva. He hates the taiva. Ulafizeh ro'oy lasader. So, according to this, it would make sense that when he's doing the vidui, he should go from the light to the more serious. Roy Lasader, Chatasi Avisi Pashati. Right, so it must be that Pashati is denying God B'chalal.
Avisi's, no, you know he's there, you're just, you know, denying one of his commandments. Chatasi Avisi, minakala lachamur. Why? Ki harishon anus minayetzo mitzad ashkaga, vasheni anus ktsas mitzad ivas sichlo, sheholicho toa v'navuch, abal amored porek ol bezadon, v'zed das chachamim. So, it's interesting, when you're asking for forgiveness, you should ask for the light ones first. Why? I don't know. Let's see. Usvirle shemashikasav nosei avon vafesha v'chata'a. Ah, so the Chachamim say, why is it that when he asks for forgiveness, he starts from the light to the heavy, but when we describe what Hashem does, we say he forgives the other way around. He forgives avon vafesha v'chata'a in the other direction. According to Chachamim, Hainu she'achar nesiyas ha'avon va'pesha nishar hachata shebetshuva miyira zdonos nasos kishkagos. When a person does tshuva miyira, his averos become like accidental ones. K'mo shekasuv biyuma va'achakach mavir gam hachata k'mo shekasuv lachein bezos. Yechupar avon Yaakov. Is that called pre hasar chataso? Valzamar v'salachta la'avoneinu ulechataseinu shkin seder aslicha lo seder avidui. U'mashikasa v'hisvade olav pirush ha'idei avidui nishavim in ha'avon v'apesha chatos shogeg. V'zeh shikasa v'kevim chayim misvade. And Rab Meir holds no. Seder avidui is chet pasof. See, this is really the point I was trying to get to. Rameir says, no, you regret the least one last. Shagamshu kal be'echus, even though it's light in terms of its seriousness, hu chamur bekamus, but it's more strict because the fact that it's lighter means that we do those averos more frequently. We do the averos of taiva more frequently. Now, that's stam, an important lesson that those averos, I mean, again, one lesson perhaps from this, again, first of all, I find it interesting, he says that when you ask for forgiveness, you should ask for the lighter ones first. Now, how do I understand this? I guess I understand this like this, like when Moshe Rabbeinu asked for, when Avram Avinu asked for kapara for stone, he said, maybe there's 50 tzaddikim, maybe there's 45, maybe there's 40 tzaddikim, maybe there's 30. In other words, you ask, you know, Hashem, forgive me for this. You know, so you assume that Hashem is going to be more likely to forgive you for the lighter ones. So first you ask, can I get forgiveness for the lighter ones? And then you ask, maybe I can get forgiveness for even the more serious ones. And then once you hope Hashem is going to forgive you, but then you got to work yourself up. And it's the hardest avodah to really ask for forgiveness for the most serious ones. So maybe that's why I think the Malbim is suggesting that you have that order. So I just think, what's the lesson for us from this? What's the lesson for us? So perhaps part of the lesson is that, you know, I just mamish had this last night with a student who contacted me anonymously about certain sins that he's involved in. And, you know, he really felt so terrible about the sins, and I was trying to explain to him anonymously that, yeah, I wasn't anonymous, but he was anonymous. I was trying to explain to him that when a person sins that he doesn't want to be doing, so it's almost like begeder anus. That, again, I was saying it to him. It's a very tricky, slippery slope. You don't want to tell him that it's okay, just keep doing it. No, you want to tell him that he shouldn't feel like Hashem has totally rejected him and thrown him away and chucked him out, and that he has no chance for coming back. And like he was basically saying to me, like, what's the point of davening? God doesn't want to hear my tefillos anymore. So I said to him, you can't think that way. That if a person's really so upset about his averus, and they're clearly averus of taiva, of desire, so he shouldn't feel like Hashem has totally thrown him out. That's what he's saying over here, chata. Hashem created us, right? But we have to understand, barasi yetzahara, barasi Torah tavlin, right? Hashem created the Yitzhar, so I tried to advise him, maybe he should start a small Seder every day. A little bit of learning might help him. Maybe he should, you know, I advised him of some other things too, not for now. But a person has to know that when he sins of taiva, these are the lowest level sin, right? The thing that that's the more dangerous, perhaps. And again, it's more dangerous and less dangerous. It's less dangerous in the sense that you do it less frequently, according to the Malbim, because the taivas get you more frequently. But it's more dangerous in the sense that it's a much more severe type of rebellion when it's not just taivas. Although sometimes people claim it's actually in the mind, but it's really, the mind is just an excuse for the taiva. Sometimes people claim, I don't believe, I'm not interested. And sometimes it's a real logical flaw, but other times it's just they're trying to give an excuse to be able to do whatever they want. So they say, I don't believe in God. So now I don't have to listen to anything. Now I can do whatever I want. Hard to know sometimes. Oh, so let's continue. I'm going to skip the next piece, and we're going to go to, hold on 1 second. Yeah, I'm going to skip the next two pieces. I'm going to skip the next three pieces. All right, we'll go. We only have a few minutes left. I wanted to speak about the parasha of Arayos. Let's go to the last page. I mean, just the third to the last piece, he talks about one of my favorite topics about how influenced a person is by his surroundings. You know that the parasha of Arayos, the Torah introduces by saying, Kamaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, Andre, it's done. You're the best. You are the best. Kamaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, Sheyishavdim Balo Sasu. Don't do like the people in Eretz Mitzrayim. Kamaseh Eretz Kanan, Sheyishavdim Balo Lo Sasu, right? The people of Mitzrayim at that time were holy and completely corrupt, and the people of Eretz Yisrael were holy and completely corrupt. So the introduction to the parasha of Arayos says you have to be careful not to be influenced by the Arayos of the place that you find yourself in. And the message here is a very, very important one. You're going to have to do that Malbim, the third to the last one. I urge you to do it long Shabbos afternoon to do it. He talks about how you have to be very, very careful when you live in a certain community not to be influenced by the morals and the standards of morality of that community. And when I think about the situation that we find ourselves in today, this is a tremendous, tremendous danger that the Jewish people face all the time. And what we read in the media and what becomes acceptable in terms of morality, and it's scary. And we have to insulate ourselves and realize that the Torah is what gives us our morality. But he goes even further. And it's what I'd like to conclude with. Last piece. So interesting that the parasha of Arayos begins with and ends with similar phraseology. Take a look at the Malbim's take on this. And it requires more time, which I don't have time for now, but I'll do my best. Take a look at page 343 for a second. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Now most mitzvahs you don't have introduced with Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Then he talks about all the arayos. Can't sleep with this one, you can't sleep with that one, can't sleep with the other one. And then look at the end again. Very end of the parasha. Ushmartim is mishmartim levilti asos v'gatim asher naslim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Interesting. So the Arayos is fenced in on both sides by the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Listen to the Malbim's beautiful take on this. Ma shepasach kan v'chein b'matan Torah Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shu ma shehizki lohem Ki hu Elokeim v'shem kibbul malchuso v'yidekach mochrochem hem elokabal gzeirosav v'shem zocher ma shekibbul malchuso b'mitzrayim. In the Aseres HaDibros, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Otzeisicha Meretz Yitzrayim. Anochi Hashem Elokeichem Asher Otzeisicha Meretz Yitzrayim. Po Zachar Ma Shekiblu Malchusa B'Sinai. Ki B'Mitzrayim Otziyem E'Avdus HaGuf V'Shlimon B'Shleimos Rishon. U'V'Matan Torah Shlimon B'Shleimos HaAchron Shleimos HaNefesh. In Egypt, we got our physical freedom. By Matan Torah, we got the freedom for our soul, the completeness of our soul. V'Alzei Higdil Torah V'Hidir L'Hashlim Es Nafsho. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Shalachim Pasach V'Siyim B'Feir B'Parsha Zu Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Shalachim Pasach V'Siyim B'Parsha Zu Ani Hashem Elokeichem Mitoch She'Arayos Chamurim. Because Arayos is Chamur, Ki davar hayakar v'achamar maniach alav chosam tsar mikol tzadav. Arayas is chamor, ki davar hayakar v'achamar maniach alav chosam tsar mikol tzadav. Something that's very, very serious. So you have a seal on both sides of it. Mitog shavayis chamorim, ki davar hayakar v'achamor, something that's precious and very serious, meniachalav chosam, you seal it on all sides. Tzar mikol tzadav l'shamro, to watch it. V'chein heniach chosam olav shu shmo agadol. Hashem put his name on the arayos. V'rebi omer atam shum v'she yedesh lo yamdu b'fnei ataiva v'yetzer. He knew that they wouldn't be able to he knew that the taiva for arayos was so strong that people aren't going to be able to stand before it. Lachin ba'alein b'gzeira she'yiru v'yachilu m'pnei shmo agadol. That's why Hashem puts his name on the arayos both before it and after it, to know, even though I know I'm placing this tremendous taiva inside of you, know that my name stands guard at the beginning and my name stands guard at the end. Maybe Rash can over avodah zarah b'midbar k'mo shkaz yishma'am bochel mishpacha. I'm sorry. Shkein over al zeh b'midbar, like it says, v'yishma'asam bochel mishpachosav al iske mishpachos. So the Malbim has two reasons why Hashem puts his name on this. Number one, to tell you how severe and serious this is. So he's putting his name on both sides. Number two, to say, I know what a big taiva you have for this. You know, the Gemara says, Rubam begezel umiyutam ba'arayos v'kulam ba'avak lashon hara. The Gemara is calling your attention to the fact that these three averis were very, very prominent. Gezel, arayos, and avak lashon hara. That's why the Mesilas Yesharim focuses on these three. So we all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, gave a tremendous taiva to the people in terms of arayos, but he signs his name beforehand and afterwards to show the seriousness of it, that despite the taiva, you have to know how serious this is, A, and B, so it's important, and B, to show that you have to be always on the lookout. You can never trust yourself. This is a very serious one. So Hashem puts his name, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, on both sides. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and Ani Hashem Elokeichem at the end, to know that despite the fact that the taiva is so strong, a person should be in fear and have the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? What do we say about Yosef HaTzadik? What saved him? He had the demus of his father, demus diuk neshalavim. So we have this demus of Ani Hashem Elokeichem before the arayos and Ani Hashem Elokeichem after the arayos. Hopefully that will remind us of the seriousness. So again, the parasha seems to stress this over and over again, but it's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword. We should realize how big the taiva is. We're learning the Gemara in Kiddush now, the Gemara says, Yitzur shel adam is gavra lo v'chol yom. Just because you fought the Yitzhar yesterday, there's no riot that you didn't fight it today. Barasi Yitzhar, barasi Torah tavlin. A person has a big Yitzhar, Torah is supposed to be the antidote. A person learns. So Ani Hashem Elokeichem, we should realize that the closer we get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself will be the antidote to hopefully save us from the Averos. We shouldn't need Yom Kippur. We shouldn't need the Kohen Gadol's, the Lesar Hashem, Lesar. We should realize, like we learned, the Bechira is totally up to us. The Sar Hashem, Sar Azazel, Mishnei, exactly even, B'Shavim, B'Koma, B'Mara. Total choice. Do you want to be Hashem or you want to be Azazel? Total free choice. The Malbim says Shnei means that they were exactly the same. Exactly the same potential. 50-50 chance to be the Sar Hashem, Sar Azazel. Every person has exactly the same potential. So hopefully as we contemplate the Avodah and Yom Kippur, contemplate how to try to avoid sin, avoid those pitfalls, we'll realize that Ani Hashem Elokeichem, He's there for us. He wants us to make the right choices, but the choice is totally up to us. Despite the big taiva, we got to realize it's a bigger battle. It's a bigger battle. It's a chata. It's not an oven or a pesha. It's a chata. It's a sin of passion. But we have the ability to defeat it. Hopefully, we should daven the Kaddish Baruch Hu for the siyata d'shmaya. That's what else the Gemara says in Kiddushin. Yitzro shalad miskavul kol yom ve'omale Hakaddish Baruch Hu ozro ein yachalo. If Hashem doesn't help him, there's no way you can defeat the Yetzara. So we should daven for the siyata d'shmaya to be able to defeat the Yetzara. And hopefully, we should all have lives that are totally filled with closeness to Hakaddish Baruch Hu and not have to worry about these sins ever. Yagdil